Kunda Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shyama Sundara, Radha, Shyama Sundara, Radha, Shyama Sundara, Radha, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada. Paramhamsa, Parivrata, Kacharya, Sutra, Satasri, Siamatri, Dhanan Goswami, Abhay, Charanarinda, Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Kija, Ananta, Kati, Vaishnavrinda, Kija, Randarat, Srimad, Bhagavatam, Kija, Nidai, Gopramanandi, All glories to their Samal devotees, All glories to their Samal devotees, All glories to their Samal devotees, Jai Shri Shri Guru Guranga, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Ki. Vasudeva is the name of Krishna, son of Vasudeva. And Vasudeva is also the Lord of Consciousness, Nirguna. We have Pradyumna, Niruddha, Sankarsana, and Vasudeva is Nirguna, beyond the modes. So therefore, before the class, we remind ourselves we are here for a transcendental purpose by saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo
bhagavate vasudevaya. I've been told we have two verses, 29 and 30. 29 has a purport, verse 30 doesn't. Correct? I read two, right? So let's chant verse 29.
Vikara khyaya manopi.
Vikara khyaya manopi.
Pratyak atmanamantara.
Pratyak atmanamantara.
Nani rupyostyanurapi.
Nani rupyostyanurapi.
Syat chet chit. Sama atmava.
Vikara
kaya
manopi.
Pratyag atmana mantara. Nani rupyo styanur api. Syat chet chit sama atmavat.
Syat chet chit sama atmavat.
Next, please.
Vikara kyaya manopi.
Vikara kyaya manopi.
Vikara, the transformation of created existence.
Kyayamana,
appearing.
Api,
although.
Pratyak
Atmanam, the Supreme Soul.
Antara,
without.
Na,
not.
Nirupya,
conceivable.
Asti,
is.
Anuhu,
a single atom.
Api,
even.
Syat,
it is so.
Chet,
if.
Chit
samaha,
equally spirit.
Atmavat,
remaining as it is without change.
Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. although perceived, the transformation of even a single atom of material nature has no ultimate definition without reference to the Supreme Soul. To be accepted as factually existing, something must possess the same quality as pure spirit, eternal, unchanging existence. Purport. A mirage of water appearing in the desert is actually a manifestation of light. The false appearance of water is a specific transformation of light. That which falsely appears as independent material nature is similarly a transformation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material nature is the external potency of the Lord. And also verse 30.
Nahi satyasya nanatvam avidvam yadimanyate nanatvam chidrayor yadva jyotishurvata yorivam.
There is no material duality in the absolute truth. The duality perceived by an ignorant person is like the difference between the sky contained in an empty pot and the sky outside the pot, or the difference between the reflection of the sun in water and the sun itself in the sky, or the difference between the vital air within one living body and that within another body.
Om Agnati Mirandasya Agnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah.
I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are like desire trees, capable of fulfilling all desires, and who are oceans of mercy, Kripa Sindhubhya, and are capable of saving and purifying even patita people, fallen people.
Shri Chaitanya Padambho Oja Madhu Pebhyo Namo Nama Katanchida Shayat Yesham Shvapitat Ganda Bhagbhavet.
This is Chaitanya Charitamritam. My respectful obeisances to all the devotees of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are like honeybees, drinking honey from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Even a dog, or a dog, Prabhupada translates, a doggish non-devotee. But shva api, even a dog. By taking shelter of such devotees, somehow or other, will also get a share of that honey. And my favorite from Chaitanya Charitamrita for the class, yasya prasadadagyopi sadhya sarvagyatam vrajet sa shri chatanna devo me bhagavan sam prasidatu. May Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. It's to the question, how long should be the course? If it's a course, you know, it's any shastric course, you can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can do it in a moment. But if it didn't work in one moment, we can add another one.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada is saving the world from Nirvishesha Shunyavad. In the beginning I thought, when I first heard it, I thought it means just, you know, saving from that obscure school of Indian thought promulgated by Shankaracharya, Mayavad, right, Nirvishesha. And Shunyavada, that's Buddhism, mostly, in the internal teachings of Buddhism. However, recently I started realizing, no, this is the whole postmodernism,
What is postmodernism? Postmodernism means everything is relative. Nothing matters. Everything is the same. Nirvishesha. It's good. You may have noticed, probably the last 60 years or how many, actually less, people do not say good, it's good. They say good for you, right? Which is okay, but the underlying philosophy seems to be that, okay, it's good for you, but not for me. Okay, good for you, yeah, you know, keep doing. That's okay. But I'm not going to do what you do. So, of course, we are different. And certainly this material duality is illusory. However, postmodernism, which has been going for about 200 years, is symbolized by despair. One of the most famous paintings, Edvard Munch, The Scream. Yeah, some unclear bridge and a person, and the person is screaming, right? You can almost hear the complete despair. No hope, no goal, no meaning. So that's postmodernism. Why? Because everything is relative. You cannot say this is really good. You cannot say this is really bad. Somebody will come in and say, no, it's good for you, but not for me. No, it's bad for them, but not for us. So, ethical relativism. This is what the first postmodernist, Friedrich Nietzsche, said. He said, God is dead. Right? And, of course, our dear Kalakanta Prabhu from nearby, in his 10th canto poetic rendering of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, he included Friedrich Nietzsche's epigraph, the quote, just on the first page of his book, saying, Nietzsche is saying, if I were to believe in God, that should be a dancing and laughing God. Poor chap didn't live long enough, you know. Poor chap died before he could learn about Gauranga and Krishna. So he's dancing, Gauranga is dancing and laughing. No? Even Radharani, among 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani, only 25 main are listed, and one of them is Narma Pandita. She's very expert in humor. Sometimes devotees think, don't you dare smile and joke. I even heard classes like this, you know, which always scare me, because I liked it. I think humor is important. Krishna is joking, and there was some story how Srila Prabhupada asked his servants, why are they laughing their bellies off, and they couldn't remember why. So he said, that's okay. Laughing is a Vaishnava activity. So I feel a little validated. Okay, you can laugh. So Nietzsche says, I will accept God who can laugh and who can dance. Such God I will accept. So that's Krishna, that's Gauranga, that's God. Or as Ravindra Sarup Prabhu used to say, if somebody would tell him on the street, I don't believe in God, then he would say, what kind of God you don't believe in? And the people would explain, you know, the angry judge who is just watching for your mistake. Ah, battle! And boom! And, you know, or... I know that. I saw that. watching your thoughts and punishing you for thought crimes. No, that's not our God, definitely. In fact, for our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, for every mantra, there is a Dhyan mantra. What should be the picture when you chant? So, then Chandra Goswami, in his Shri Shri Radha Govindarchana Smarana Paddati, Paddati means manual, you know, the book of instructions. So there he gives the Maha Mantra, and then he gives the Dhyan Mantra. What's the picture? What should be the picture when we chant? So he said, Dayed Vrindavana Ramye Gopa Gopiralankritam Kadamba Patale Yamuna Jalashitale. We should meditate on Krishna on the beautiful bank of the Yamuna under the shade of Kadamba, Tribanga, Lalitam, Devam, Radhaya Sahitam Krishnam, Krishna in a threefold bending figure with Srimati Radharani. Bhakta Nugraha Karaka, who is very kind and merciful and trying to give favors to devotees. Bhakta Anugraha Karakam. That's the meditation for the Hare Krishna mantra. Not angry God, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna must be angry with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Every description of Krishna in the Bhagavatam, you see. Krishna, Vishnu, everybody. Well, maybe Narasimha in the beginning. But every avatar, every form of Krishna is smiling. And you're supposed to meditate on Krishna mercifully smiling. Third canto says, this smile, he smiles. If you just meditate on his smile, it dries up the ocean of material tears and suffering. You just meditate on his smiling. One, in the early days, one devotee said, at least somebody is smiling, you know. You come to the temple, he's always smiling. You can see, he's not under the weather. So at least somebody is always smiling. That's that's our Krishna. So and that's how we meditate. He's kind. He's merciful. Of course, doesn't mean we are negligent in our in our life. So that's how Krishna is. He's laughing. He's smiling. So Nietzsche didn't know. Basically, you can see by the time Nietzsche started analyzing ethics, virtue, religion, all he had some dogma, very dry, inflexible, hardly a living dogma. Of course, always you have some few saints, but seems he never found any saints or mystics. So he threw out God. God is dead, you know. So he's the first poor postmodernist, and he died in misery, basically. It's not that he was anti-God or anti-religious. He just, you know, he was anti- dogmatic, dead, figurehead God. You know, he was, he had no, so Ravindra Sarup Prabhu, sometimes he's asking, he says, what kind of God you don't believe in? And then the person says, oh, I don't believe in such God, in such God. So Ravindra Sarup Prabhu says, I don't believe in the same God you don't believe in. You don't believe in the same God. In fact, there is this strange guy who strangely was made popular, Dawkins, if I pronounce it properly, I don't know. And so makes for a very boring reading, because when he lashes out against God, he never even touches Krishna. He lashes out against some of his very dry conception of God. Some very redacted form of Abrahamic God, who is angry, who is far from transcendence. So he's lashing out against that kind of God, not against Krishna. So this is the postmodernity. And yes, you throw. Carl Jung, you know, says that you throw away God, and therefore you have no hope avoiding depression. Because we want a transcendental purpose to our life, and without God, it's not there. Humans are not satisfied with the material activity, because every material activity is circular, running in circles, you know. We eat to work, and we work to eat, you know, and it goes in circles. It doesn't make us happy, like in that joke, It's originally German, but Fritzchen, but you can say Johnny. So the mother tells Johnny, Johnny, little Johnny, Johnny, eat this bread and butter. Mommy, I don't like bread and butter. No, you must eat this bread and butter. Mommy, why should I eat this bread and butter? Says, if you eat this bread and butter, you will grow big and strong. Why should I grow big and strong? If you grow big and strong, you will be able to work nicely. Why should I work nicely? If you work nicely, you will be able to earn your bread and butter. But mommy, I don't like bread and butter. See, it does not make us happy. We need something outside. We need something higher, some transcendent purpose. May occupy us for some time, but then you know, we will be frustrated. we work hard to buy a big car, and what do we use our big car for? To drive to work. It's a very unsatisfying proposition. So, this is postmodernism. No higher purpose, ethical relativism, everything is relative, nothing is true, anything goes. Existential despair, existentialism, that we are in the ocean of hostile miseries, and there's no hope, and no meaning, and no meaning. So Srila Prabhupada is coming to save us by telling us, no, truth exists, reality exists, differences exist and matter. There are different levels of differences. Some differences from a certain level are meaningless, indeed relative. Yes. However, everything, as verse 29 said, Madan Prabhu, maybe we can move to 29 translation, which says that everything must be defined only with reference to the Supreme Soul. So everything is coming from Krishna, and everything is defined through Krishna, with reference to Krishna. And we have three gunas, three modes, and Rajas is much better than Tamas. Rajas will at least help us stay human. And Sattva is much better than Rajas. And of course we have Shuddha Sattva, which means there is bhakti, and there is it's for Krishna. It was actually my question for decades. It was one of my very first questions in Krishna consciousness. How does Shuddha Sattva differ from Sattva, besides being for Krishna? I mean, like externally, in the behavior itself. Okay, it's offered to Krishna. All right, that's the purpose. But the behavior, will it differ between Sattva and Shuddha Sattva? To get this answer, we just had a meeting in Houston, Shastric Advisory Council, working on our hermeneutics paper. It's a very nifty, nice word, hermeneutics. You know, can learn it and then casually slip it into a conversation. Sounds good. Yeah, we discuss hermeneutics, and epistemology. Which basically means how to understand that we understand correctly. Oh, there are some difficult parts. How do we order? How do we determine which is more general principle and which is just a particular case? And this way we can reconcile the either contradictions or controversies. Theoretically, if all of us were rational, absolutely, maybe we would be able to reconcile all the differences. So, in hermeneutics, there is one principle that, it begins with us. We are the instrument. So therefore, one of the principles, can I understand it? Like in Jiva Dharma, you can see, there are some things which are inconceivable. So So in Jiva Dharma, for example, Vaishnava Das is asking, how does pure jiva, pure spirit, full of knowledge, come under the influence of maya and ignorance? Makes no sense. So what does Babaji Maharaj reply? He will give several answers to him later, and throughout the Jaya Dharma there are several takes on it, actually from both sides, both full and no full, both sides are there. his first reply, and these are the first pages, I mean these are the first chapters, he says, you need to go and chant and elevate your consciousness, then you will understand it, really. And Vaishnava Das goes and chants for 3 days, which in Bengali, I understand, means something like 10 minutes in India, you know, like... no, sometime. Because you read, they get bhava in 3 days, you know. Is it like the calendar 3 days, or like, you know, a few days, I mean, sometime. So he chants for 3 days, or duichari, they say, duichari, 2-4 days, which means sometime. And then he comes back and he says, oh, thank you, I got it. So this is a hermeneutic principle, actually. Some things we have to wait for the answer to come up somewhere in Shastra, sometimes for ourselves to widen our horizons and capacity to grasp rather difficult concepts. Especially when it concerns achintya, things that are outside of this world, outside of time and outside of causality. Anyway, you can ask me questions afterwards. If we can have a total discussion about it. There was time in '93. Anyway, maybe some of you remember. We had our ISKCON was cutting edge all the time. We had the first flame in cyberspace, flame wars, you know. Did Jiva fall or not? So we had total flame wars, and in Vrindavan temple it was a taboo. You could not mention anything connected to this from the Vyasasa. It was a total taboo. You could not give a class and mention anything connected to it. Which is practical, because it's achintya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we debate about it, the result will be increase of anarthas. It's not a matter for debate. So I had this question from 20-something years, how the behavior in Shuddha Sattva and Sattva differ in practice. In purpose, yes, the purpose is clear. One is for Krishna, one is for something here, but in practice, like externally, can you judge externally? Can you see externally? Okay, this is sattva, this is Shuddha sattva. Is there something to distinguish? So finally, when and I asked several very good devotees, but it was not easy to find an answer. So finally, when we reached Canto 10, the end of Canto 10, in Vrindavan, in the VIHE. So at the end of Canto 10, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries, gives the answer. There is a story about Bhrigu going and testing Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu, if you remember, yes? Brahma he doesn't offer respects to, Shiva he verbally insults, and Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, he kicks in the chest. Yes? And Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva become angry, but Brahma is able to control himself, Lord Shiva is able to get control with the help of Uma, his wife. He says, hey, wait, he's Bhrigu is your brother, don't kill him. He controls himself. And Lord Vishnu, being kicked in the chest,
He says, "Oh, Bhrigu, I hope you didn't hurt your foot." "I'm very sorry. I'm always lying. Sorry. I should have known you are coming. And I'm famous for lying down a lot, you know, in the Kosal Ocean, in the Garbhodaka Ocean. So South India, so many temples, he's reclining. So I'm famous for that. I'm very sorry. I hope you're okay. I hope your foot is not hurt. My chest is a little hard. But thank you for kicking. Now Lakshmi will always take shelter at the place where you touch my chest." And this is where he has Shivatsamar. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that this is the difference. In sattva, you would be able to forgive. In sattva, you would be able to tolerate and forgive. Maybe even get angry, but forgive. Whereas in Shuddha Sattva, you not only can forgive, you're also not disturbed, and what's more, you're concerned about the welfare of the other person. So he's trying to comfort, he's trying to console, give solace to Bhrigu. "Oh, are you okay? Your foot is okay? You didn't hurt yourself?" So he says, this is Shuddha Sattva. This is pure Sattva. Being a well-wisher, even when attacked, or when there is a, as Prabhupada says, sufficient provocation, even then, the person in Shuddha Sattva is a well-wisher. So these texts, they describe the vision of a person transcendental, the vision of non-duality. So verse 30 speaks about absolute truth being free from duality. So if we are devotees of Krishna, we are supposed to be able to be tolerant and patient and forgiving and merciful and kind. Doesn't mean we are seeing everything as completely one, without any distinction. There are distinctions. They may be lower grade distinctions, but they matter. They actually matter. Again, Rajas is better than Tamas. First canto says, like smoke is better than wood. Because by smoke, you can heat a room or something, right? You can make a use, you can cook. You can make use of it. So Rajas is better than Tamas. And in the material world, there is a choice for every human, and there is a difference between Rajas and Tamas. Sattva, of course, is better than Rajas. But of course, we try for Shuddha Sattva. We try to do everything for Krishna, without neglecting the lower grade differences either. Even though from a higher perspective, they are one. Like, you know, like looking back at your school. Did you sometimes get a bad mark? Did it ever happen? You got a bad mark? Once or twice, maybe. So now, does it strike you as something really, really significant? You don't even remember what subject it was. You know, you don't even remember. Was it mathematics or was it history? What was it? Do you remember? Maybe some especially traumatic, particularly traumatic. But in general, you know, from this perspective of so many years, you don't even give so much significance. However, does it matter in the school whether you get good marks or bad marks? It matters. It matters. It doesn't matter absolutely, but it does matter to some extent. So both are there. And in our devotional life, what we do, we try to always choose the best, however, keep our cool, so to say. Being able, keep the capacity to have a perspective from the point of view of eternity. Will it matter from this perspective of eternity, or from Brahma's perspective? That's why always traveling is good for this, especially going to the mountains is good for this. You look from the mountains at the down at this. You see, oh, there is a city there. Oh, those are houses. And then in these houses you see teeny. Now, these must be windows, if you see them. And then somewhere there inside, there are people, teeny, invisible, you can't see them. And each one of them thinks, oh, I have a huge, humongous problem. But from there, it looks small. So we should be able to take this perspective on all our good and bad things in our life. And offer everything to Krishna, connect everything to Krishna. Not neglect, there are things good, there are things bad, we do not neglect. We learn to judge, discriminate, discern. The best word is discern, right? Discern. Viveka, to see what are the differences. But ultimately, offer it to Krishna. Offer everything to Krishna. At the end of Krishna's instructions, in the 11th canto, Krishna says something beautiful. He says, "Esha vai buddhir buddhimatam." This is the intelligence of intelligent. This is the wisdom of the wise. And what is it? He says, "Yoyo mai pare dharma kalpyate nishpalaya chet tadayaso nirartasyat bhayaderivasattama." O best of devotees, Uddhava, even useless things. And there is a comment like crying and fear. He says, when they are offered to me, become the best of dharma. The best of dharmas. So when we offer things to Krishna, they become meaningful. They gain meaning. They become significant. So this is the idea of devotional life, to try and do our best. Then offer to Krishna and depend on Krishna for the rest. We try to produce the best possible results. The best possible results. Detachment doesn't mean no results or bad results. No, best possible results, perfect results. However, then offer to Krishna and not be too preoccupied by enjoying those results, because these are for Krishna. We offer them before. This is why a devotee can remain, Prabhupada says, this is why a devotee can be equal in success and failure. I would always be bewildered. How can a devotee be equal in failure? You know, you want to build a temple for Krishna, you want to distribute 100 books for Krishna, and you fail. How can you be equal? That's bad. You want to do it for Krishna. How can you be equal when you fail? Okay, when you're successful, you can say, no, Prabhu, that's okay. It's Guru's mercy, Krishna's mercy. But when you fail, you know, that's my fault. I didn't do right. How can you be equal? How can I be equal? I will be disturbed. But Prabhu says, no, a devotee is equal in success and failure. And it's not through, just saying, it doesn't matter, through carelessness. No. So how can a devotee be equal in success and failure? Any book distributors here, or somebody, what's your Divyanga Prabhu, or somebody has realization how you were able to deal with failure, being equal in failure in devotional service? I mean, meaning like temporary failure, hopefully, right? I mean, difficulties come, like right now here, Parikshit is going to die. But he's happy. Of course, then right next to it, we see Markandeya, who doesn't die and curses his choice. Why did I choose not to die? Oh, this is such a stupid choice. So you have them back to back, you know, two stories. Parikshit dies, very happy. Parakadaya doesn't die, and he's very bitter about his unintelligent choice of blessings. I understand this is only in the nature of bhakti, because you offer it to Krishna before. Before you do it for Krishna. You offer it to Krishna. So therefore, it's already Krishna's. It's already offered. So you make your effort and it doesn't work, because you have offered, you can remain satisfied. You keep making other efforts or some other effort or keep doing the same. Like you see Srila Prabhupada. He went through probably 8 plans. Plan A, become a billionaire. Right? The astrologers told him, you will be richer than Birla. You will be... So Prabhupada said, okay, let me try. He worked. He, you know, pharmacies, drugstores, he tried to do. This, did it work? No. Okay, plan B. What's plan B? Okay, he started back to Godhead. He did, and he did not postpone. He was maintaining the Bombay temple. He opened the temple in Prayag, published Back to Godhead. But he couldn't really bankroll the worldwide preaching. So plan B, you can see, if you read the first canto, he addresses the elite, the rulers, the government. Some of these purports read a little strange to us, right? But you can see he met Lal Bahadur Shastri and the Prime Minister, the President, and he tried to inspire some of them to implement the Bhagavad Dharma. Did it work? No. Plan B didn't work. Plan C. He goes and preaches and he says, give me one son. Give me one son. You have 7. Give me one. I will train him and we will preach. Nobody says, oh, Swamiji, Swamiji. Nowadays, you know, I go to Radha Ananda Vallabha and Pujari says, oh, take my son. He is 14 years old. What will I do with him? Prabhupada was asking, no. So plan C didn't work. What next? Plan D. Okay, go to America. Yeah. So he comes and he tries to go to a university to do some lecture here, lecture there. Did it work? No. That was plan D, right? Plan E. He comes to New York and he goes to the yoga studio. And again, he tries to address some of this, you know, from that strata. Did it work? No. So only, you know, plan F, plan H, something, I don't know. Only, he was relentless, indomitable, unstoppable. But he was equal, equipoised, equal in success and failure. He was unfazed. Yeah, what's the expression? He was never distraught. Might have been difficult, but he was equal in success and failure. And so here we are, by his mercy, in this beautiful new Ramanreti temple with amazing Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nitai, reading Canto 11, which was finished even after he passed on, you can see Srila Prabhupada, right? With beautiful translations and purports, continuing the same science, how to attain equanimity and how to practice bhakti in this world and how to gain a transcendental experience. Our purpose is not religious, our purpose is spiritual, as they make this distinction nowadays. This is our product. Our product is transcendental experience. Transcendental experience. Srila Prabhupada was giving this, and we are here because of this, and you want to give it to others. Transcendental experience. Through the books, through deity worship, through sadhu sangha, and prasadam, yes, and through the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any comments, questions, points? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, so thank you for your nice class and welcome to Alachio.
Thank you.
Hope to see you more often. You know, you were talking about failure, you know, devotees' efforts. So in particular, you mentioned Srila Prabhupada, you know, the best of pure devotees there.
Yeah.
And he also experienced so much failure when he started. So for us, I'm just wondering that when we experience failures also trying to do some little service in Krishna consciousness, should we see it as, okay, maybe I'm not making enough effort or I'm not purifying myself enough so that Krishna feels comfortable to use me in his service to do something? Or what should we be thinking of?
There is a certain danger that then we become self-centered. Oh, I'm so useless. Oh, there is no hope for me. Oh, I'm so bad. And again, we are self-conscious. We are conscious of us only, of ourselves. So maybe we have to make more effort, become more purified. However, we need to look forward that we offer things to Krishna and do it for Krishna. In fact, this is the first mistake a new devotee will make. A new devotee will think that controlling the mind means stopping some of the anarthas. Just stop it. And we fight with it. But the more you fight with your mind, the stronger it becomes, as you may have experienced. So that's not actually the process. Our process, it doesn't work for anybody. Our process is not, Prabhupada says, we are not trying to kill the desires. We're not trying to kill the mind. We are trying to redirect. We're trying to direct it to Krishna positively. So we try better. Not harder, but better. And for Krishna. Like a clever mother, when the child is naughty, then she just says, "Oh, look here, look at this," and what is this? And he's forgotten the temper tantrum. in the same way, you can see our acharyas give so many verses. Prayer is called mana shiksha, preaching to the mind. We're not trying to kill the mind, we try to redirect the mind to Krishna. Maybe I failed, okay, so try better. So, like you can see, Srila Prabhupada didn't just sit and brood, I'm useless. Whether I'm useless or not, that's besides the point. The point is, do I offer my efforts to Krishna? So I need to just find a way to offer my efforts to Krishna in the best possible way. Prabhupada says, 2 + 2 = 4, 5 + 5 = 10, and Krishna plus everything equals Vrindavan. You see? New Raman Reti? I feel, you know, like it's like Vrindavan. Krishna plus everything equals Vrindavan. So, you should not be negligent and careless but also we should not be depressed and self-centered. So we, if we fail in something, we see what to do next. Look forward. What to do next? What's the best way to proceed forward? And then, you know, like a bicycle. How do you balance a bicycle? If you keep it just standing, can you balance a bicycle? I don't know, maybe you can, but in my experience, you have to move. You have to move forward. Then all of a sudden, you know, two wheels and it stays straight. Amazing. Right? So in the same way here. If I stay, why can't I be, you know, equal? What's wrong with me? Maybe should more to the left? No. Maybe more to the right? No. No, move forward. And then all of a sudden, it falls into place. So positive. It's a positive process. It's not minus Maya, it's plus Krishna. Prabhupada makes this joke, because in Indian languages, arithmetic sum is translated as yoga. Yoga is a mathematical term too. Yoga means sum, plus. So Prabhupada makes a pun, a joke. He says, yoga means plus Krishna. It's not minus Maya. That's the mistake we all make. That's the Jnana Yoga misconception. Even Arjuna thinks yoga means minus something. It is minus, but by higher taste. So he says, yoga means plus Krishna. So same with everything. What's the plus we need to do? And no matter what trouble is there, you make plus beautiful Radha Shyama Sundar, you make plus Sadhu Sangha, you make plus Hare Krishna, you make plus at least some good rounds, you make plus good kirtan, you make plus Srimad Bhagavatam. And then all the other things will be, you make plus next good effort. And then you move. Right? Yes, Prabhu?
Sometimes we see a devotee is doing very well, and then...
Doing?
He's doing very well.
Very well.
In his Krishna consciousness. But then a calamity hits him.
Yeah.
Maybe his child dies, or his wife dies, or he's divorced, or something. And then he's suddenly on the other side.
Mm.
He loses his smile.
Loses his?
Smile.
Smile.
Never smiles again. What's your input in this?
Bhishma cried when he thought about the Pandavas. He thought, you're so good, and you went through so much trouble. He went through so much trouble. Why? He's crying. Yeah? Even and then he speaks this often quoted verse.
Nahyasya karhichidrajan puman veda vidhitsitam yad vijigyasa yukta muhyanti kavayo hihi.
Hihi, almost like hihi. Aha. So he says, even sages, by trying to understand the plan of God, become confused. It's difficult to ascertain what's the plan of God. But the same Pandavas, when they are super successful, they are on top of the world. They rule for 36 years, the whole world, very happily. Everything is theirs. Huh? And what does Kunti say? She says to Krishna, she said, we have some pad, wealth, but tvam shutai shvarya shivir edamana madakuman naivarhet abhidatum vait pamakinchana gocharam. With all of these sampad, it's difficult to come in touch with you. So vipada santuta shashvat. May all the miseries come to us again and again. Bhavato darshanam yatsyat apunar bhava darshanam. Because then we can see you and come in touch with you. So when we are going through difficulty, it's tough. And definitely, if somebody is going through difficulty, we need to offer all support and succor. Although I used this word once with Niranjan Swami, and he said, "Did you call me succor?" he has a good sense of humor, privately. No, he tells me, "Don't make so many jokes in the class. You're joking too much in the class." So, if somebody is going through difficulties, we need to offer understanding, support, and not try to push them. You must smile or something. People may suffer. However, after you pass through them, oftentimes you will remember that those hellish times, real hell, like worse than hell. You read about hell, you think that's better. Sometimes. Isn't it? But after you pass it through it, after that, you will not exchange that for heaven. Because who has passed through difficult times? Who? Why are you smiling? Who thinks that they gave you something valuable? So when you look back, you will not exchange it for heaven, paradise, because throughout those difficulties, you were choosing Krishna. And that choice was so deep. It's easy to be a saint when you have a full belly, a full night of sleep, smiling devotees around you. You're a saint, right? Everything is good, you're a saint. But when there is trouble, then that's when you actually are tested in your saintliness. So a person going through the difficulties, even if they struggle very hard, even if they may become angry at Krishna for some time, at least, you know, if they do not reject Krishna, they are choosing Krishna on a very deep level, unmotivated level. And this is, nothing is sweeter than that, actually. So then, after they pass through it, they will remember this as the best what could ever happen to them. Like the gopis, we should not think it's only for some devotees here. You can see, we don't talk about it on Sunday feast. I sometimes do, but usually not, that there is suffering in spiritual life. Yeah? But if you read, there is a lot of it. So therefore when it comes, we become surprised and we think something's wrong with me. But no, you can see even the gopis. You can see Narada, right? He saw Krishna, and he was in bliss. And then Krishna disappeared. And then, in the first canto, and then he heard the voice, "Narada, immature yogis do not deserve to see me. You will never see me again till the end of life. And even that darshan I gave you just so you get a taste." My God! And what worse can you hear? "You will never see me again." Yeah? We don't discuss it very often, but it's the biggest distress that can happen. And then the gopis, yeah? The gopis, Sharad Purnima, and Krishna plays the flute. And in that flute, he calls everybody's name. And the Sharad Purnima, Ras dance, is the dance where all the gopis participate. That's one dance when all the gopis participate. So he calls everybody. So just imagine, he calls you, "Acharya Gopini, Shesha Gopini," I don't know, Gopi, and then he calls our names by name, only you can hear, in the flute playing, yes? And then you try to go, and a section of the gopis, those who are freshly back, they're called personified Vedas, Shrutichari, some are Rishichari. So there's a list of different categories of gopis who are just now coming back. Turns out, they have slight smidgen, little tinge of something that's not absolutely 100% pure. And what happens, they're stopped. And they cannot go. And, they were invited, they were called, everybody goes to dance with Krishna, and you are not allowed. You are stopped. So they are suffering, and so they then decide, okay, let me die. And they want to die, but then they think, no, I cannot die, because if I die, it will be a spot on the festivities. It will spoil the festive mood of the rasa dance. So they cannot even die. They would happily die and stop this misery. They can't even die. So just imagine, it's... So Vishnachakarya Bhagavatam says that this suffering, in compared to that suffering of thousands of hellish planets is nothing. And if you hear about that suffering, you also are free from karma of hundreds of hells. You're not, it's just hearing about it purifies of all that. So then they decide, okay, let me meditate on, they just meditate on Krishna in the heart, and they meditate on Krishna in the heart, they see him in the heart, and he comes. And he embraces them. And then this happiness they experience at this moment cannot be compared to millions of heavenly planets. So that purifies you from all, when we hear about that, this purifies us from the obstacles of good karma. Sometimes a good karma can be an obstacle. Right? So that obstacle, all those obstacles are purified. So only in the next rasa dance they can join. So even there, even the gopis, they may go through that difficulty. We may not be able to explain, and maybe better not to try to explain, right? exactly why. Bhishmadeva, actually, the conclusion in the first canto was that rather than understand why this is Krishna's plan, it's more important to be able to accept, meaning surrender to Krishna's plan. And in fact, this is one of the secrets of understanding. Sometimes our immature efforts to understand prevent understanding. Because we push too hard, it's like, you're trying to rip out some keys or the phone from your pocket. And you just rip the pocket and you still don't get the keys. Yeah? So what do you do? Okay, let it be. Don't try to pull it. And then slowly, gradually, then you can take it out. So the same way, trying to understand, when first we accept, okay, Krishna is good, Krishna is fair, Krishna knows best, I accept. Maybe I don't understand, but I accept. Then after that, all of a sudden, we get clarity. Maybe after a little time, or just by surrendering, then some clarity can arise. Because trying to know oftentimes is also trying to control. Most of the times. It's a false ego thing. I'm a knower, I must know. Right? But when, okay, I don't know, and it's okay. So sometimes when we agree, okay, I don't know. All of a sudden Krishna says, oh, okay, so that's how it is. That's how it is. Okay, it's 9:15. It's time for our joyful chant, life-asserting, life-affirming, Sharira Vidajal. Jai Nimai Janitai. Thank you so much. I'm very honored. Very honored. Very honored and happy to be here.